A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine you wake up in Jurassic Park and you're a raptor. You have sharp teeth and 7-inch claws. And since you've been extinct for 65 million years, you'd be in a really bad mood.
Wow. That almost sounded like Jack Black there. I have to go back and watch that commercial.
A little bit. It's not him, though, but it looks like, sounds like him.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Play Retro. This is Play Retro for Wednesday, May 31st, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson, one of the hosts of this fine show. And it must have been really expensive to license John Williams music in the 90s. Also, it's a Unix system.
Is it a Unix system? Mm-hmm. Yes, a Unix system.
It is.
Son of a bitch. Oh. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I can't stop collecting these dino eggs and zapping little baby dinosaurs. Wait, are we the bad guys? Nah. Bzz. Son of a Diplosaurus Rex. My hitbox is too big, and these raptors are too fast. Yeah. They truly spared no expense. Hammond!
Hammond indeed.
We spared no expense.
Nah, we spared no expense. Hey, if this all sounds like Jurassic Park stuff, good news. We're doing Jurassic Park, the 16-bit era. More than that, 8-bit also. A few other bits. But listen, it all happened in like 93 and 94. Yeah. That was it.
Like, we were onslaughted. If you had any type of electronic device that was capable of running games, you probably had a Jurassic Park of some sort.
I don't remember it being this proliferated. It's weird. Mm-mm. Those 2 years are, I mean, that was a long time ago, but it still, it just feels like, really? What? Whoa. Like, if it wasn't enough, we had OJ flying down the freeway in his white Bronco. We had a million Jurassic Park games that all came out in that era. So anyway.
30 years ago. Can you believe 30 years have passed since we watched the Jurassic Park? Well, guess what? Too bad it is. It happened.
Yeah. I don't like it. No, sir, I don't. Mm-hmm. It's weird that in 2014, that was only 20 years prior. And 20 years doesn't feel that long ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But 30? Shit.
Shit. I dare somebody to come out and say, that's not retro.
Yeah, look, we're looking at 30 freaking years. If 20 years is the normal standard, it's a problem. People think, 20 years ago, or they think 30, 40 years ago, that must have been, you know, Super Mario or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when they really think about it, like, oh man, we're like into the GameCube already with the 30 years ago or the 20 years.
You can just
ago.
Forget about the year thing and just think back and go, oh, how did I play this? Well, the most popular method in 1993 would have been to go down to your local video store, not even Blockbuster. You hadn't even gotten a Blockbuster in your town yet. Or maybe you had, but a lot of people hadn't. Mm. You had to run down to your local mom and pop shop and fight the other kids for a chance to get one of the new releases that you could play over the weekend. Yeah. Now you're old.
You think it sucks that Walmart came and took all these mom and pop stores? Just imagine how irritating it was when Blockbuster did it to mom and pop video stores.
This is how I feel about Walmart. I'm not mad at Walmart. We made Walmart. You know how we made Walmart? By going
to Walmart.
I accept this lower priced item for a lower service.
Yeah.
And so it always cracks me up whenever Audra works at an upper scale retail store.
Yeah.
And they'll come in there. People will come in there and they'll have certain expectations. And I'm like, the expectations they have are the expectations we had when we were around in the 1980s, when there wasn't a bunch of Walmarts and everything cost more.
Yeah.
So we traded our souls and now we have Walmart.
Yeah.
Sweet. Now you know what's even better? We have Amazon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
even less even better. Yeah. And then a little Target in between, you know.
They want us just to walk out. They don't want us to just walk out of stores with shit.
Yeah. Yeah. They want us to just walk out and feel okay about it without taking our wallet out. Well, we're going to talk more about Jurassic Park. Don't worry. The games that happen, there's some good ones in there, turns out.
Oh, yeah.
Some garbage, too.
Some bad ones.
Yeah, there's some bad ones. We'll get to all around that or all to that in a minute. But I'll tell you what my life has been all about in the last week. And really, it's Brian Dunaway's fault. And I spread your disease on Core. I think we've sold somewhere in the range of 45 to 50 of these. And I'm not kidding.
I had worried after you told me that because I was like, oh, shoot. I better go order another one because they're going to be out of stock.
They're going to be out of stock. Some people got warned. It says they got a message saying we're having unusual activity on this item. So please order quickly before they go. Like there, people were getting that message because we went and sold these mother efforts out of the Embernic. Yeah. What's the model again? I always forget.
This is the RG35XX.
The RG35XX device.
It is a Game Boy style format. So if you remember the Game Boy, it is that style format. And both of us got the retro kind of beige color. By the way, I ordered beige 500. Filament printer for my printer because it's supposed to be the same color as the Amiga 500 and it's supposed to be very similar to this color. I'm going to print some stuff. I hope that will
match it up. Sure. Or either that, you got to go contrast hard and do whatever the complimentary. Yeah,
and that's what I did with the stand thing. It looks like the buttons. I went with the the handle I have.
Oh, you know what I want? I want those maroon button colored for my handle.
That'd maroon. Be cool.
Moto Maroon. But anyway, I've been playing it like crazy, and I absolutely love this form factor. The good news is Garlic OS getting on here real soon, so I'll have all that. Brian's already done that, of course, and is already running that. I love this. I love this thing. I told everybody about it on Core. John got one. Bo got one. The entire freaking stream got one. Everybody on that show got one. A bunch of people from this show got one. Embernic, if you're listening, you owe us big time. At the very least, you send us some free shit. That's all we're asking for.
We want some stickers and some shirts. We won't sell ourselves out. No. But we do take thank yous.
We take thank yous. Absolutely. We'll take product. And here's the thing. I didn't think about it. You didn't think about it. Nobody did an affiliate link on Amazon so that we could have profited off the backs of this interest. So we're just lowly podcasters doing our job. And if you want, you want to throw us a little love our way, Embernic, we wouldn't turn you down. You got some other cool stuff I wouldn't mind.
We love it. Well, this is like my third or fourth Embernic device. I like the quality of the product. The Miu Mini was more popular in most of the circles I was looking at. The handheld market has exploded. Like this sub $100 retro handheld market has exploded between that and up to about $200. Is this crazy?
Do you know what's made it good though? Is that they're good devices. They're not crap. Yeah.
They're solid. They'll play.
Yeah.
The ones under $100 would typically play the 8 16-bit era games, and including all the way up to PlayStation 1. Lots of times, they're getting all these parts from old phones and that kind of stuff, and using the processors from that. So they're using what's out there, and this is a great use of that. And man, I wasn't sure because I looked at the Miu Mini.
Right.
And it has the Miu Mini Plus, which is the same size as this one, basically.
Right.
It has Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I need the Wi-Fi. And I was like, but it doesn't have HDMI out. And that ended up being, in my use case, more important.
Same. Because
I was like, I might want to stream with this. Or if I want to play two player, I can hook this up to player. And we can play on the TV.
Right. I don't know what the value of the Wi-Fi actually is other than leaderboard stuff. And if you want to do multiplayer retro art stuff, I get that. But
net play is very finicky, which is this all runs retro art. Net play is very finicky. I've never had a lot of luck with it. One big advantage will be able to automatically update your ROM sets and stuff if you wanted to do that. But is that really worth losing out on the HDMI output so we can play like a couch co-op? I am much more likely to play 8 16-bit era games on a couch co-op than I am through net play with somebody. This is not as likely. So that's why that was for my use case. That's what I wanted. And not saying that the other one's not great, because I'm getting that one too, by the way.
Yeah, it's ordered. You're doing everything. Yeah. And they should buy them. They should give you versions of these.
I've thought about that, but I do like the fact that we buy our own stuff. That way, when we talk about this stuff, we can get the real deal. We still can say our words.
Yeah. But, what I actually want? I want like a handful of them we can give away on the show. That's what I want.
Yeah. That'd be good. Now that would be good.
Prizes.
That would benefit everybody.
That's right. Prizes. You hear me, people? Yeah. Frickin' mother effing prizes.
Yeah. And Joey Image in the chat room, who's also a big retro gamer and handler. He's got the ROG Ally on the way. And I've been really trying hard not to look at it and order one myself.
I don't want the ROG Ally because I hear the battery life is garbage.
Well,
garbage.
I think the Steam Deck start out with some battery issues, but not they updated some firmware stuff.
I know the battery life for my Steam Deck has been exactly what I wanted, hoped, and was promised. Super long for indies and pixel games and retro. I get like 10 hours out of that thing or something. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
And then if I'm playing something hardcore like, Cyberpunk 2077, that thing chews through my battery, but I expect it to, right? It's a big, full-blown next-gen hoo-ha going on. So,
the hoo-has.
And I feel like I've got the best of both worlds right now. My Steam Deck is my favorite thing on the planet. I love that thing. Truly, I think Steam Deck is my favorite device I've bought in years, maybe a decade.
It absolutely is. And it is so much more than a retro gaming device. It just happens to also...
No, it's just very good at that, right? But where did I put it? Wherever I...
so small.
This little guy already, even without my garlic upgrade, is perfect for just like, I want to pull this up and play some Mario Kart from the Game Boy Color. Yo. Yep. Beep, 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 that's beep, it. Boop.
I keep this thing right by my bed every night.
Yep.
I pick it up and I play a few little retro games because you don't have to get too deep because, most of these 8 and 16-bit games... they were designed to be between 2 to 10 hours. So you could complete a game if you wanted to, just laying in the bed, or you could just play enough to, just to get your fill.
Just to get your fill, sure.
Just get your fill in. Like I said last week, if you've ever tried to go to sleep with your Steam Deck and you're a back sleeper like I am, I'm a back sleeper. I've nearly dropped that thing in my face a couple of times.
My problem is I sit up in a bad position when I play in the bed with it.
Right.
And it hurts my forearms after a while.
Yeah,
because the Steam Deck weighs as much as a dog. Yeah, it's like having a puppy in the bed with you. It's a nightmare. But I love that thing. So we're getting best of the both worlds, everybody. That's what we're doing around
here. And only $55 if you directly order from Anbernic. And that's kind of you're not going to get shipped to you probably for less than $15. So it's about the same price if you order it on, Amazon. If you're super cheap and you want to save just a couple of dollars, AliExpress, you could order it from there, and it'll be a few dollars cheaper, but not by much. And you're probably going to wait a little longer. Ordering direct from Anbernic is a really great way to support them directly, and they have warehouses in the U.S. and they're usually like maybe a day or so lagging behind how long it takes for Amazon. But of course, Amazon, you can just ship stuff back too, though. It's like crap.
That's true. Amazon has its own advantages and disadvantages.
Perks.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a good way of looking at it. But we wish you all luck on all of that front. And if, you got your own stories to share about your latest and greatest little devices to play your retro games on, let us know. You can send us emails at playretroshow@gmail.com or you can text us at 801-471-0462. Let's get to this.
Shall we play a game?
Let's play a little Jurassic Park, and let's start with the NES. You hear that?
Yep, that's an NES, all right.
You know what you're going to notice here? This doesn't sound like John Williams' theme at all.
Mm-mm.
That's pretty good music. But that ain't it. And that's what's funny. One of the things I noticed about every single case was that none of these games, with the exception of that 3DO thing, we'll talk about that later, didn't use the John Williams theme in any way, like even a crappy 8-bit version of the theme. It just didn't happen. And I don't know what that means.
I had a theory. I wanted to go back and watch. Okay, there's a couple of things this week. We played a butt ton of the original Jurassic Park things. And what one of the things that made me want to do was go read the book again, because I haven't read it in forever, because a lot of these games reference not only the movie, but also the books. A lot of fans out there.
Yeah.
And also, I wanted to find out what did happen to the music, because Spielberg was pushing all these licensees that had acquired the license, in this case, it's Ocean for the NES. He really pushed them to make something that was innovative. He wanted games that were innovative and did different things. And we did get a few that did that, and some of them failed terribly. But I'm curious if the John Williams score stuff maybe came later, because, the lifespan, the time to build a game can sometimes exceed the time that it would do to make the film.
Right.
Especially in this era with the small teams. And so I was curious, did they just not have the stuff? I'm not sure where John Williams popped in, if he does his work closer to the end after all the principal photography and stuff, or if he does.
I think he's there for part of the process, but you're right. And it's a much closer to post-production process for music for any movie, really. But
right.
That theme though is so iconic to me. It's like this. If you had Star Wars imagine Star Wars without the John Williams theme, just some crappy synthy thing from the 70s instead. And then imagine the sound effect worked in those movies were more like the era and not groundbreaking like they were. Like the sound work in those games or in those movies are incredible, right? So imagine ripping those out and saying, okay, now make it. Like, that's crazy to me. And in my mind, Jurassic Park is half the movie. It's a great movie based on a great book, but it's half the movie without that music. It's so important. Dude,
take out the John Williams score from Star Wars and you ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes every piece of that taco salad to make it delicious. Otherwise,
salad sounds great now.
Yes, I don't know why. Damn, I went with taco
Why'd
salad,
you bring that up?
Good.
You bastard. Anyway, this particular game is a top-down shooter. You collect and destroy or destroy all the dino eggs while avoiding or zapping respawning dinos, and progress through the game as you collect key cards that open up areas for more egg collecting and dino zapping. It really is kind of that's the loop. That's what you're
it's
doing.
It's a little grindy, because you'll find it kind of feels like the world. First, you think, oh, this is open world. And then you discover, no, it's just a series of buildings and doors that I've got to get through to progress to the next level. So you may find a key card in one building that'll open up a door in another building. So some backtracking. Obviously, things that were here are to kind of elongate the gameplay out to almost 2 hours.
Yep.
Because, if once you figure out where everything is at, you can move. You can probably do this thing. Probably do it in 30, 40 minutes. If you were to speed run this thing, you'd probably really just nail it. And also, once you played it once, I don't know how many times you'd want to revisit it. It's, because once you start memorizing the location of the eggs, which is the primary thing you're doing, so you can make sure you clear the whole area so you can get the final card so you can move on to the next step. And once you learn that the trees are just some of the trees are dinosaur generators, because you'll walk past them and a dinosaur will pop out of there.
Oh, wow.
And once you learn what boxes, because it's got boxes that you can run up to and pick up, it's got question marks on it. Some of them are health upgrades. Some of them are ammo, and some of them are just explosives. But once again, once you learn them, you don't go, because it's always the same.
Right.
It's just, there's nothing very, there's nothing like procedural. There's nothing that's procedurally generated.
No, it's all pre-crafted. It's the kind of game, though, had it had some procedural generation, which again really didn't exist in the NES era, but had it had that, you would have seen the lifespan of this game would have been bigger. It would have been
definitely better. Because that's the whole question. It's like most of this game is going, well, what's this do?
Yeah,
and then is it going to do this and that? And I had a good time with it.
That's fun.
I played almost all the way through on this one, and you're showing right now. The developers,
the river,
the river part. Yeah. The developers did get access. They to a lot of the material for the movie, and so they knew locations that they could use. And this one's actually a pretty fun little area where you're going down the river or up the river, and you're avoiding dinosaurs who are floating. Then you got the, was it the Dilophosaurus or whatever they are, the ones that spit?
Spitter dinosaurs. Oh, the spitters, yeah. The Brachiosaurus is the one in the water, the big one.
The Brachiosaurus is the one. He looks kind of cute and lets you bump into him.
Yeah. Then there's damage. No, there's damage to be had. And if it's an NES game, that means your guy will blink. That's the deal.
Yeah. And by the way, another thing too, just real quick on this NES version, if we do end up talking about the Game Boy version, I don't know if we'll, we'll talk about that. Game Boy version is pretty much the same, but the user interface is so much better. I had to practically refer to the manual to understand what all the user interface stuff means. Like, obviously, on the left hand side is a health bar, right. Underneath that is a number. You discover that's lies pretty quickly. But then you got weapons you pick up. Every weapon is not shown, like when you pick up the weapon, it's not shown in your inventory. Like it's the thing that you picked up.
It's annoying.
It shows it as a colored dot. Yeah. And so you have to learn that the yellow colored dot, it takes 3 hits for certain dinosaurs. And it shoots like little pebbles, right? It's more like a tennis ball shooter.
Right. That is exactly right. I love the little shadow it makes when you fire it. It's a fun look, but this T-Rex can only move vertically or can only
Let me tell you about the things I hate the most about this game.
What?
And it makes sense. Pretty much after you get through with certain areas, everything else is escort missions. You're always trying to save the kids, right? And you've got to pull them along with you, and they're always trying to die, and you're always trying to save them. And that darn T-Rex, man, all the dinosaurs, because you can't move nearly as fast as them. If you go in straight lines, up, down, side to side, you move slower than almost all the dinosaurs. You run in a diagonal, like in Aliens and different games from the NES era, you run twice as fast. And that's how you really zip around stuff. But that can be difficult.
Yeah, it can get old too. I found some, like you said, it's a little bit grindy, this game, but I think it's got good fundamentals. The actual shooting's fun, and exploring is pretty fun. Mm-hmm. And they decided to do something very different in the SNES game, which isn't, in some ways very much like this and in some ways very different. We'll talk about that in a second, but I wanted to give you the speed run record currently for the NES version of Jurassic Park, this game. The current record set 10 months ago, 26 minutes, 26 seconds. Yeah. And this is with no glitch run. This is just a straight run.
Yeah.
26 minutes, 26 seconds by somebody named Loshara. Country are they in?
I have a feeling
the Ukrainian. That's cool. Ukrainian did it 10 months ago. That's a hard time.
I have
time
a feeling that's
it.
Probably about as fast as a no glitch run is probably going to be, because there's just certain things that you have to do, and there's a certain the character only moves so fast. I just don't know how you could shave much time off of that.
All you got was let's see, 22nd place, 22nd difference. Third place, another 10-second difference for that. And then the closest we got here in America, 4 months ago, an American named Betax Complainer, I think is how you say it.
Betax Complainer.
He's fourth. 4 months ago, he made an attempt, 28 minutes, 45 seconds. Not bad.
Yeah. Look, this is if you're a speedrunner, this is a good game to do, because it's a learned game. And once you've learned it, you know everything about it. You just get a walk pattern. The dinosaurs will always appear when you step on certain pixels. When you get to a certain distance away from a dinosaur, there's no surprises. They all respond stupidly, just like you would expect. So this is if you're a speedrunner and you're looking for something that's kind of different, this may be the speedrun for you.
Yeah, might be.
I love the opening dinosaur, by the way. All these games have great openings, and this one is just the weirdest. It's got this big fat-headed Tyrannosaurus Rex, and you're like, you had to click the start button inside his mouth, and it's just, I really liked it.
It's weird.
He's doing the jumps. You eventually learn that doing the jumps is helps you a lot. Especially when you're around the small dinosaurs, wherever those things are called, they gang up on you.
Yeah, the little ones. The ones from the second movie were prominently shown killing that dude from Fargo. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, Peter that was Stamara. Awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what you got. If you do some little jumping and stuff, you can get around those guys lots of times.
A lot of these speed runs, like they learn that if you hop, bunny hop, you go faster by like some tiny microsecond or whatever.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
So there you go. That is the NES version of the game. The Super NES.
The Game Boy version is a little chunkier. The screen is smaller. The sprites are larger. But the UI interface is a huge upgrade. I don't know who the UI interface to the Game Boy one, but when you have a weapon, it shows the weapon you have. It's not just some kind of circle. Everything makes a lot more sense, but it's exact same maps.
That's the only game I didn't look at physically. Well, that and the 3DO game, I only could go off videos, but I didn't see the Game Boy game. You're making me want to try it.
I tried it. It was good. It was good. But like the only part was kind of rough though. It is bigger sprites. So if you, in some of these areas, like when you're doing the, avoid the stampede, your character does not move. There's not enough, there's not enough area to move diagonally.
Right.
To get out of the way fast enough. So you're having to depend on the rights and lefts and ups and downs, and you get hit a lot. Usually the person with you gets hit because they're also lagging. Everything's a little bit slower. And so it can be kind of frustrating, but it's fun.
I get it. But the UI is cool. Let me ask you real quick. This is totally unrelated. When you save a game in the default setting in the SamberNIC.
Yeah.
Those saves, I assume, are not compatible with Garlic OS's save system, right?
They should be. All these saves should be compatible with, because it's just doing a RetroArch save.
Oh, is that all? Oh, so it's just front-ending RetroArch anyway. It's the back end.
Yeah, it's just this front-ending RetroArch. There should be no problem. The save state should work fine. If you have that, you should be able to put that over to your Miu Mini as well, your Miu Mini Plus. If you've got all your stuff in the right spot, it should be a problem.
I didn't know if the default AmberNIC OS had was using RetroArch as well.
I think it saves to a saved directory just like the other. Like I said, all the emulation is actually managed through the...
Because I got real... All I'm saying is I got real far in Super Mario Golf D for the GBA. And I don't want to... I just kind
of... I ain't taking none of that back.
I want to take that save over. Anyway, so there's that. Now let's listen to a little bit of what the Super Nintendo had to do.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Ooh, a voice.
Big upgrade, right?
This one, obviously, as you can hear, a little more fidelity. Some chirping sounds. Jungle. You know, sounds like some real trouble going on there. Looks like something Samuel L. Jackson's going to get tired of this hacker shit and go cut his arm off. But the game,
he's going to die from smoking first.
Exactly. You would not be shocked to look at that and go, oh, it's the same game, is it? But there are some very, very key differences here.
Huge.
And I like this game, but I will say, I don't think I like the VR looking helmet go into a building shit.
Yeah. There's two modes in this game. It's the same top down mode like it was in the game we just discussed, but you don't have to worry about the eggs as much, but more is the biggest difference is when you go inside these buildings, it switches to a first person shooter and you're wearing goggles, which kind of shrinks down the screen display a little bit. And I suppose they had to do that. This you'll have to contextually remember, 1993, Doom has not even been released for the SNES. So console first-person shooters were not really a thing. You've played plenty of them on the PC, but not on the consoles because the SNES was just really not capable of rendering the 3D, even sprite-type stuff. So it was rough.
Yeah, it didn't. It's the frame rate's like 4 frames per second.
It's really bad. It's not fast, and it's kind of interesting because you go from the overworld stuff. Super fast. You're running from other dinosaurs. You got to be careful from electric fences. Everything is this running fast. And then you go inside the buildings and you put on these goggles and everything slows to a crawl, but the dinosaurs become much less aggressive. As a matter of fact, I found these parts to be way easier to play.
They had to be. Because they had to be, right? Otherwise you're just like, hey, this all slows down to like a slideshow. We're going to make it just as hard? Like, no, that wouldn't be fair.
It wouldn't.
Yeah, but I really like the above ground stuff. I think is actually more fun than the NES version. It's obviously more detailed, animated, sounds better. And the combat just feels better. I don't know. I like it.
Yeah.
I just hate going in buildings. Couldn't stand that part.
You're doing the same thing. This is all kind of follows along with the movie. You got, the power has been cut. And you're trying to get the power back. You're trying to get the power back on so you can kind of corral the animals back into their pens, right? So yes, we're doing the same thing here. And it's just got much better graphics, much better sound. The one thing I did hate, this guy didn't do it. Oh, here it is.
Yeah, the
there
stupid it is. Cards,
There's
dude.
Cards.
I hate them.
There's these pop-up opaque. They're semi-transparent information cards. That's kind of supposed to like give you some tips and stuff.
Yeah.
The only problem is, once they pop up, they may stay on screen the entire time, even when you're fighting monsters.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's a nightmare. They're huge. They are so big and in your face. It's the most annoying freaking quote unquote feature. You can't see
nothing.
Yeah, it's bad. It's real bad.
Once you get the part, once you get the power partially restored and stuff, you'll start having radar, because the user interface is a little bit better in this one, but it's still kind of cryptic. They have shapes for the different weapons you have. This we're still doing like in the NES version. Whatever the last weapon, wherever you pick up the last weapon, if it is the most powerful weapon, that's the one that's always equipped. No weapon switching.
Nope.
Other than the fact that you got a more powerful weapon coming up, you grab it.
Yep.
And it will switch to that automatically, which can be so frustrating. I get so mad when you got limited ammo on a more powerful weapon and you're in an area, you know, you won't be able to use it until later. And it's like, oh, I won't get to use that, but I'm going to encounter like a whole bunch of dinos between now and then. I'm going to have to use my good stuff.
Yeah. You need a way to switch weapons so you can, you know, be more strategic with that. That's a standard in almost every game since, but in this one they decided not to. It's weird.
One thing we didn't do the video, but we lumped these all together, the right. Jurassic Park 1993 Super Nintendo, the PC, and Amiga, because they all have the same basic pattern of gameplay,
right.
Whereas an overworld thing, and then you go into the buildings, and it's a first-person shooter game, and the story kind of pretty much stays the same as well, but PC and Amiga's stuff visually is way better. I would say the Super Nintendo audio is better, but oh my gosh, the first-person shooter stuff on the PC and the Amiga, you're playing it now, is so much better.
Yep.
It's like you would expect.
Here's one of them. Let's see if I can get them to go inside the building here. That's a TV. That's different. That's not
going inside the building, fool.
He's on the intercom communication terminal.
Having a hard time finding it,
which looks really good here as well.
Yeah, I can't find it. But anyway,
this guy don't want to go inside. Look at that.
You're right though. He's a different dude though. He's like not a park working dude. He's like I don't know if he's supposed to be Dr. Grant or whatever, but he just looks like he is
listed as Dr. Grant. However, we know that Dr. Grant wears his hat, right?
Right. Right. This is not a very good Dr. Grant. This is just some dude in a pair of pants. Hey, look at me.
And remember, you got to remember, every game we've talked about so far was developed by Ocean. All these games, they were developing and working to make all these. So there was all kinds of different teams working on all this crap at the same time.
Ocean of America, if I remember right. Hold on a second. Right. We may have had an office here in Salt Lake. There was a time where Salt Lake City was like the home of Acclaim, Iguana Entertainment. All these like 16-bit era companies were all working out of here.
Right.
And there's still some big ones here, but a lot of those guys are gone, and I cannot find it. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. But Ocean, I remember seeing Ocean's logo all the effing time.
Oh, Ocean was a prolific monster for a minute.
For a hot second. Because it didn't
for a hot second, the 8 and 16-bit world, Ocean was killing it.
They didn't move into the 32-bit era at all. Like, you just didn't hear from them. I'm sure there was something, but it all petered out. It was like watching, you know, the big stars of this, not that we were around for this, but the big stars of the silent film era. And then, you know, talkies come along and all those people just fell off the thing because no one cared.
Yeah, because, if you were a gaming company, and we're actually about to lead right into the next game in the discussion we're going to have there. And that's that horrible Sega Genesis version, right?
Mm-hmm. I kind of like this though unreasonable reasons. I will not ever say, yes, this is a good game. Okay.
It is fun. I don't know how much you played of it, but
I played a bunch.
I will tell you this. It is fun for about 15 minutes. And then you'll hate it.
It reminded me of an arcade game, right? It's like an arcade game. I put a quarter in, I played for 10 minutes, I got my fill, I got out.
That's pretty much. This was Blue Sky Software.
Yeah.
Who I think was also suffering maybe in the same way Ocean was, under great expectations. Mm. A lot of money coming through, a lot of expectations of getting a game out at a certain quality level from all these studios, because all the studios, this was the same time. So here we are, we're looking at Blue Sky Software. They are not only developing a Jurassic Park Sega video game, working with, you know, one of the biggest budget films of that time.
Sure.
They were also the original team working on the Aladdin game that would eventually get pulled from them with Disney.
Yep.
There was huge, massive amounts of push for you know, these companies to get games developed, and they were pumping it and dropping it off on these kind of guys, and they just weren't able to manage it.
If you think we have crunch now in the games market, I got news for you, man.
Right.
Wait, are you gaming on a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
This is just crazy. But the Blue Sky Software, I really think the reason why this game is held in low regard is because I did play enough of it. Once you play about 30 minutes in, you start hitting all kinds of crazy glitches, and you realize this game maybe is 80% complete.
Yeah, it feels
maybe
like a
80%.
Yeah, it feels a little unfinished. But I'm just going to say, from a stylistic standpoint,
I prefer
it over a lot of what we play. Like, it's got a lot of Sega weirdness. Freaking logo starts here. Let me show you this video.
You have nailed it.
The logo starts with the dinosaur. Well, here, I'll play it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's him. Let me play it again. Listen very carefully what he says. He says Sega, dude.
It is Sega. This game is beautiful. We are at 16-bit. One of the things this thing suffers from is the fact that we are now at mature platform gaming.
Yeah,
we have tons of experience with platform gaming at this point in time, and they overcomplicated this thing, man. They way overcomplicated it, but like you said, visually it's a freaking beast. And one of the reasons why is because they had capture software. They were capturing people with motion capture stuff. Mm-hmm. They even had animatronics from the movie. They own loan to do capturing for the dino moves and stuff. I mean, look at that 16-bit art.
Yeah,
that
look at the color depth on this thing for a Genesis game in particular. It's just really nice, you know?
It is gorgeous, but the problem was, you know, a lot of times you're doing a creative project, you kind of go with the and then, and you kind of keep going and building. They didn't have anybody to stop and go and wait.
Yeah, no, they did the Jeff Goldblum character would say, you thought about how you could make this game. Yeah,
you didn't. Yeah, I didn't ask if you should or
however
that, right?
However it would work in this case, I don't know.
Right.
But I didn't have the worst time. I had a good time playing this.
Yeah. Oh, man, if you fire this up and play it for 15 minutes, you are going to walk away going, that was a good game.
Well, let's find out. Okay, so real quick here, I failed to mention it. The SNES game, the more top-down with the occasional, stupid VR thing.
Right.
Or not VR, but, you know, first person. That game's current record for speed run 3 years ago set by somebody named Shmurperp or something from...
Shmurple.
Shmurple.
Oh, Shmurps.
He's from Brazil. He beat it in 40...
Oh, look at that, Brazil.
40 minutes, 54 seconds, that entire
game.
Let
me tell you something about Brazil and Sega.
Go.
They love each other.
Really? Okay. I believe you.
True story. True story.
Okay. Jurassic Park Genesis. Let's see. 4 months ago, this was set.
Yeah.
Retro Brando from America beat the game we're looking at right now. 5 minutes, 8 seconds, glitch free.
Yeah. And you may tell you why, because if you were... Okay. So
5 minutes.
This is a memorization nightmare, but if you can do it, you cannot play through this game the first time, and it's going to take you forever, because there's just so many. Each screen has its own physics.
Yeah.
So you'll be going along and you're thinking, oh, I know how my character works. He works like this. And then they will have all of this stuff where you're just, you're like a pixel short from being able to jump to where you need to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's just this constant frustration. And I got stuck. I got stuck in a place that I didn't know you could get stuck. And it was on a ladder through a series of follies. somehow or another, I ended up in an area that wasn't even, I couldn't even navigate out of. I had to quit the game.
You had to get out? Oh, man.
I had to quit more than once.
Look at this guy hauling ass. He's almost there. He's about to make the record.
He knows where all the bullshit is.
Yeah. I mean, imagine buying a game that you just spent $49 on in 1994, right, and it took you 5 minutes to beat it.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is you're definitely not going to do that. So this guy's doing some things. He's throwing these grenades and stuff. These are some things I learned after a couple of hours gameplay as well. But it is just so infuriating. Like if you mess up even one time, you just suddenly is just screwed. It's kind of one of those things. You know what? You ever play a game and you need to move a box? You ever slide? You ever do a box slide?
Oh, it's like, sure.
This box has got a slide over here, and then you accidentally land on the wrong side of the box and you accidentally push it the wrong way, and then it's against the wall.
Yeah.
You know, then you can just, you know, usually you can pull it away from the wall or, you know, leave the screen, come back.
Sure. No,
not here.
Not here. No.
If you F that up,
you're done. Yeah. You're screwed. You're out.
And it's so easy to do. So yeah, I did that more than once as well.
All right. Now let's get into
But the good thing is, but wait, have you talked about the best part?
What's the best part? I missed
okay,
the best part.
So if you bought this game like I would have back in, you know, 1993.
The Genesis game,
Your Sega Genesis or Mega Drive. You're playing your Jurassic Park. You know what you do. You don't read the manual. You pop the game in. There's a big old play button there. You hit play. You jump in. You're playing as Grant. You see a thing. It's in the back of your head. You're like, oh, I saw a player back there. Is this a two-player game? I don't see it on the box. It just said one player. So do you like take turns or something? Is it something like that? No. If you go to the player section, you can play as the Raptor. So,
oh, that's right.
You can play as Grant, or you can play as the Raptor. And as frustrating as Grant is, the Raptor's twice as hard.
I didn't even try it. I forgot that was even a thing.
I played the Raptor. He's neat. I like it. There's some jumps he can do that is just, you know, it's amazing. Some of the things he can do is amazing, but it's still, it all comes down to how slippery the platforming is, because it seems like you can never land on the right spot. It's kind of like when I was playing Atari Frogger. There was like just certain spots you didn't want to get to, and it's just like it felt like I was doing that all the time, just right on the edge, and I just couldn't never get it right.
Did you mess with the Game Gear game at all? Did you give that a shot?
I did mess with the Game Gear game. It was in my opinion, a little bit better.
It's a different game, very different game.
Yeah, it is way different.
Yeah.
We didn't list it, but because it looks very similar, it's probably a direct port. There's a Sega Master System and a Game Gear version of this game, and this is actually a pretty charming, fun little game. You drive when you first start.
Yeah, it's got a little shooter reticule thing you use to shoot stuff.
Yeah. You drive your little Jeep, right? Your little Ford Explorer
looking ass thing. That's so stupid looking.
Yeah, you get to drive your little Ford Explorer, and dinosaurs are coming at you. You can't die here, by the way. I don't know if you knew that or not. Once you run out, basically what this is doing is this is true arcade stuff here. You're basically generating more health bars for when you actually get to the location you're going to fight. So it can definitely help you here. If you can fend off the attacks while you're driving.
Notice this parallax scrolling that the Game Boy was never capable of, by the way.
Right.
It's pretty impressive. It's not bad.
It is.
Yeah.
This game is amazing for a Master System or a Game Gear, in my opinion. And it's a good, short, fun game, and it gives you the Jurassic Park kind of vibe. So I liked it. It was not painful at all. I enjoyed that one.
Now,
especially after I played it right after the stupid Genesis one, which was making me mad.
What'd you think of the Jurassic Park Sega CD business? How'd that land on you?
I played that longer than I thought I would. I saved it for last because I was like, I want to play a point and click adventure?
It's a point and click where you had to point and click with a controller D-pad.
Yes. And it is a Sega CD. So this is really a multimedia experience, right? And it is a point and click. And it's fine. It's got a, different story than all the rest of them. It doesn't depend on the movie story. It's more like, I don't know if it's before or after. I'm assuming before, but you're kind of operating just to kind of help things. It's more like what was in the book. You're kind of helping along a little bit because there's small problems. The big things haven't happened yet. And so you're doing some exploration. Guess what you're doing again? Collecting little baby dino eggs. I don't know why that's a theme throughout all of them, but it is.
They all, I swear there was a meeting and they all said, listen up. We got to make sure eggs are everywhere. And
you got to collect eggs. No matter what you do.
Yeah.
But we got full motion video here, which is not super full motion. It's really,
I mean, for the era, for Sega CD full motion was a special brand of bullshit, but it was what we had. And it was affordable.
But it was kind of neat. I played this one in bed and it was more casual. Just, you know, you can turn all the way around most times and you'll get to the edge of a screen. It'll, you can, you know, choose to go forward, back. It's all time-based, by the way. You only got like 24 hours to complete all the tasks, I believe.
Yeah.
And when you travel between places, you'll lose time. There's things you pick up that you can use with the environment. And that's tipped off by the fact that there's a little orange, green. Is it orange? I can't remember. It's green,
I think.
And you'll know that you need to interact with something in your inventory, like pliers or something you picked up along the way. Still kind of same settings and things. The visitor center is always huge in all of these games. You got to be in the visitor center. That's going to happen.
By the way, so, our old pal, what's his name here? Retro Brando. Also the guy who owns the speed run on this one.
What? He just wants to tear up that Jurassic Park.
He's a JP man. Look at this. Okay. Yeah. So he did this in, let's see what's the record here.
I know this guy. I've watched this guy before.
So Retro Brando, 17 minutes, 39 seconds. No glitch run. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. I've watched this guy on Twitch before, I believe.
Yeah, he's great. He's got a decent YouTube channel, a bunch of stuff going on.
Yeah. Oh, he's got his JP cup out, drinking, just taking a little hit before he gets ready to smash it.
Yep. He's hauling ass. He's seeing stuff at 1 minute in that the other video I looked at said 12 minutes. Oh, wow. Look at this pre-rendered business. What a weird, man, the Sega CD, what a weird time. Weird stuff.
I never could. I kind of want to explore more of the titles to kind of see where they were going because it was a weird time. I remember when, you know, Windows was doing the same thing. It was like, everything is going to be, let's rethink video games. Mm-hmm. Let's think of them as multimedia experiences. And it had some really unique titles during that time.
Agreed. Now, if you're in the arcade, you're having a pretty good time.
Yeah. This is me. This is probably the most more JP you. I played.
Yeah. I think I played this more than, not here recently, but back in the day, this is probably the place I spent most of my coins. And this had the John Williams theme, which will we not be playing today because when we do that, we get in trouble. But it is, it's a fun shootery piece of business and
it's a rail shooter, right? Yep. But how appropriate, you're in your Ford Explorer, decked out in Jurassic Park colors. And they're chasing you. So it's like, it recreates that situation where, you know, everybody is in the Explorer and they're fleeing from the T-Rex, but it just keeps on going because you get chased by other dinos. You got to flip it around. And it's a rail shooter, so you got your little rail gun there. You just got to shoot, you know, shoot all the dinosaurs on the screen. It's a little tougher to emulate.
This is back in the time where everybody hired Sega and their AM1, AM2 boards or whatever they were, and they were making all the arcade adaptations back then.
Yeah,
all of them.
Yeah, you shoot the raptors that come out. You shoot for the life boxes so you can, and you'd usually get a pretty decent amount of play for the pay. Mm-hmm. I used to play this at the Chuck E. Cheese whenever I'd take the kids. It was a sit down. It was shaped like a little mini Ford Explorer with all of the paint and everything. And I remember every last bit of this. Everything that's happening right now.
Yep.
Oh my God, it is burnt into my brain. Mm-hmm. I loved it so much. It's a two player game too.
You can have two guns, right? You do it and my memory is it was a enclosed, like really enclosed. Like it wasn't really
enclosed.
Yeah, it wasn't like one of those fake out like afterburner ones where it was very enclosed. But this was like, no, you're kind of in a mini Jeep. It was weird.
Yeah, it was way cool. And it was so loud and just it's very immersive. And it has that thing we talk about a lot of times, that flow. I mean, the dinosaurs, they just keep coming at a steady rate, not to the point that you feel overwhelmed, but to the point that you just feel very satisfied that you're, you know, you're actually escaping and making some progress until that happens. You're like, oh no.
Imagine if
there's a whole bunch of stuff on screen.
Imagine if Sega could have equaled the power of their arcade boards of this era home and been affordable. It would have been a whole different outcome for them, I think.
But seeing this takes me back. I'm like, I can't wait for the cheap pizza to be up.
Yeah, dude.
So I can get over there and get me some pizza and head back over here and play some more Jurassic Park. And, you know, my kids are like, Dad, we want some more tokens. Get your own tokens.
Get your own damn tokens, kid. I'm 22. I'm having fun.
Yeah. I'm 22. This thing takes 2 tokens a pop, and I ain't that good.
Right. I finally have some expendable income. I'm putting it in this machine. Leave me alone.
Right. Leave me alone. Eat your pizza, fool. Go watch it. Go watch the rat sing. Leave me alone.
Finally, I want to talk about this weird ass mother effing weirdo thing from 3D, from the 3DO. Now, I have some audio for this. So I'll play this first.
Welcome to Jurassic Park Interactive. Jurassic Park, located on an island off the coast of Costa Rica, was conceived and built by John Hammond. Hammond, an extremely wealthy dinosaur fanatic, and his company, InGen Corporation, leased the island of Isla Nublar from the government and have spent the last 5 years setting up a biological preserve.
Okay, you get the idea. He's just going to tell you the whole thing. Yeah. This is a very multimedia, high fidelity image kind of thing. Like this thing actually produced real photos.
I mean,
and stuff.
I love the voice work. If you feel like you're at a park, right? Like you're at a kiosk at a park.
Right. And there's video clips from the movie. Like there was one right then. Let's see if it has audio. I think it does. Hold on.
Remember when it was so,
let's see if it does this. I don't know.
You may not remember this, or people younger, but do you remember how excited you would be to see a stamp size clip of a movie that you didn't own? I mean, it's just so small on the screen. I think it was like maybe 320 or something. It was like a quarter of the screen.
It was exciting.
640.
Yeah, it was exciting shit. I loved it. Oh my gosh, this everything about this reminds me of 3DO, even though
it's terrible. I love it.
The 3DO was crap, dude. I loved mine, but it was just a dumb console. It really was.
Look how good that looks, though. Look at the images, everything it just looks really good. But it feels they've sacrificed motion for fidelity, right? Because it's like the pictures are 100% sharp, but the movement stuff is just
really bad. The graphical stuff's bad. The video's okay. The static images are good. The minute they tried to do something graphical, that console struggled.
It's all sprites rendered, so I'm assuming the only thing they're doing
horrible. This T-Rex chasing them. What the frick? It's so bad.
It's so bad. I love how the objects appear, or it keeps getting big as he gets closer. He looks like he's having some kind of seizure, to be honest with you. He's freaking out behind you. And whoever's trying to drive this thing is having a terrible time.
Yeah, they keep stopping.
It looks like you only can drive 2 feet.
Yeah, and then it's a garbage.
Crash.
This is a bad video game, by the way. Reviewed poorly at the time. Do not recommend, but it is kind of fun to see what was happening there. And there's more. There was a Jurassic Park 2, The Chaos Continues, 1995 SNES and Game Boy game. I never played this, including this week. I couldn't actually find it.
I didn't get to it. It is a game sequel. It is not Jurassic Park 2. It is still from the Jurassic Park 1, but they decided they needed more. Same for the Sega Genesis version. They did a Jurassic Park Rampage edition, but I guess with the same team as well. Mm. But this one looks good. The one that's on the SNES.
It looks okay. They ripped off the Alien 3 game is what it reminds me of.
They did. So it looks like they did a side scroller instead of, I heard there was a lot of internal problems with the teams, because one team on the SNES version, the original one we talked about earlier, one was in charge of doing that first person part. And then the other team was in charge of doing, the regular stuff. And the first person part was just such a different game. Yeah. And it was hard marrying those two. And it looks like here they just said, bump all that. Let's just do a side scrolling alien thing like we always do. And let's just get this thing out here.
Yeah. It's a real mixed bag. My understanding, I didn't play it this week, so I can't tell you. I didn't play it back then, but to me, it looks
fine,
especially holding these upper bars and stuff. This is Alien 3 rip.
Yeah. Grant can't do that. Jimmy Grant. Yeah. Come on. Grant can't do that. Who is this? He's supposed to be Grant.
Who is that? I don't even know. Maybe that's Malcolm. Maybe that's supposed
can't
to
be Grant.
Because his hair's dark, so maybe that's Malcolm.
Yeah, Grant ain't got that kind of upper body strength.
Yeah, but Malcolm did. Well,
yeah.
He laid around with his shirt open. I don't know if that means
anything. No, he looked pretty flexy to me. Yeah.
Chaos. Chaos.
It is called The Chaos Continues. You might be right.
I think I might be right. Hold on. There might be a description here. 1 year after Jurassic Park, John Hammond, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't say who the
Jim Flimmy Flam.
They send sends Dr. Alan Grant to aid the team. That's him. It's Dr. Grant.
That's not my Dr. Grant.
No, that's effed up. I don't like
dark that haired doctor, no hat, got upper body strength using friggin' automatic weapons. That's not my Dr. Grant.
Well, let's ask all these folks at home. Did you play these games? Did you like them? Do you have some strong memories of what was going on in the Jurassic Park ethos at the time? We'd love to hear from you. You send us an email. That's a real good one. Do playretroshow@gmail.com, or you can send us a text, 801-471-0462.
Destroy it.
Brian, it's time to play a guess my game. You know the drill. You know how it works.
You guess my game.
Well, yeah. And then you got to guess mine. Actually, you start with guessing mine, so F off.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to give you a date. I'm going to give you a platform. And I'm going to give you the company who made the platform. And that's all you're going to get. But you'll have three questions to ask me to try to narrow down what game this audio goes to. If you can do that, then you can be this week's winner. All right? So here goes.
What if I don't get it?
Then you're effed. You're just effed.
Okay.
This might be a little loud. Let me turn this down. Okay, here we go. See, for me, that music is the dead giveaway, but...
Yeah, you know, it sounds very familiar. It is definitely a Game Boy Color game, because we talked about it. Yeah, so it's a 1999 Game Boy Color.
Oh, I should have mentioned. 1999 Game Boy Color.
Okay. Yeah.
99.
Feels like it.
Which is weird, because I always thought Game Boy Color was way before 99, but nope, this is definitely the time.
No, that's about right. I got my Game Boy Color in 2001, and it had been out for a little while, not terribly long.
Dude, I love my yellow Game Boy Color. I loved it.
Yeah, of course, the transparent purple.
I don't know where that shit is now. I don't know where it is. I can tell you where I'll be playing them games now, though.
This is always the first question I ask if it's if when it's a Nintendo game. Is it a Nintendo property?
It is a Nintendo. Is that your legit question?
Yeah. Is it like Nintendo developed inside
a Nintendo in-house property? I'm going to say yes. It is a Nintendo IP.
Okay. All right.
But they didn't. I will help you by saying they didn't make it with an internal studio, but they used a studio they do all the time for stuff.
Yeah. But I'm looking in that area. I got you.
Right. Anything else? What else you want to know? Oh, did you hear that part? That was me capturing, and I had a glitch.
I was going to say, is that a glitch?
Here it goes.
Is it some type of sport?
That's really annoying.
Nice.
Is it some kind of sport? Yes. It is some kind of sport.
Okay. It's one of our IP people.
IPP?
It is a sport.
You go IPP?
I'm not hearing what he's doing, though. It doesn't sound like anything fast like tennis.
It's definitely not. Oh, here. Let me play that part again. Okay, that is definitely an action in the game that you just heard.
Is that Mario driving an ambulance?
Incorrect. That was one of your answers or one of your things. No.
Yeah. Is it Mario Golf?
Oh my gosh, he did it! It is Mario Golf. Mario Golf is my favorite Game Boy Color game.
Yes.
And it was developed by Camelot Software.
Camelot, you accidentally gave this away earlier when you said you've been playing the shit out of it.
Yeah, I do love this game.
Machine.
I did give it away. I put up some screenshots on Twitter as well, which is probably a mistake. But there are two... this is my favorite game on the Game Boy. And the reason it is because it's just... got a ton of depth. There's a whole campaign mode where you do a big story and golf is just a part of it, and you're competing and you ultimately want to play with Mario, but you can also just hop in and play some games as Mario or Luigi if you want. It was the first of these games to happen, although that sound I got to kill that.
this is your game capture, right?
This is somebody else. Oh. Isn't it mine?
Okay.
What's funny is the game, I was going to say something. Oh, I was going through the locker room in the game.
Yeah.
And I opened up these lockers and it says like, oh, it's Baby Mario's diaper. That stinks. And they shut the door.
Gross.
And you open another one. It's like, oh, here's Koopa. One of the Koopa kids left his socks in here or something dumb. Well, I opened one of them and it said, here's the N64 version of Mario Golf. And I went, wait a minute. Did these come out like the same time? And I guess they would have.
Right.
I think this was the portable version of what the, to me, they're, it's not connected, but they're obviously connected in time.
Right.
But anyway, it has this great story mode. It has all this fun stuff to do. I love it. This is toilet time for me in the 90s, the late 90s, early aughts. I was working somewhere at the time where I could just like, I'm going to lunch and I would just sit and play this.
They'd be hearing you going, whoo.
Yeah. They hear me whacking balls in there. Here's the thing. The music, the soundtrack in there, you couldn't turn the music off. So you had to just groove on that horrible music the whole time. Anyway, I love it. It's worth playing today and it plays great on the Ambernic, I should say.
Love it. Socks dried out. I'll load it up tonight.
Yep. It's really good. Mario Golf and Mario Golf GBA is also extremely good. So, I don't know why I prefer, good. I think I prefer this one. There's just a simplicity to it that I appreciate.
I'm down with that.
That's really good. Anyway. All right. That's mine. Brian, let's play yours. What year, all that stuff. What do you got here?
This year is 1995 Sega Genesis.
Yep. Sega Genesis. Here's your audio. Genesis, I can tell that.
Oh, it is so Genesis.
I have learned to love that sound.
Okay.
Oh, we got here.
This is part where you would know it or not.
This is banging. Oh. Is this that green blob game?
Ah, yes. Like I said, that's the reason why I waited so long before I played that part, because once you hear that part, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but what's it called? Is it have the word slime in it?
It does not. That's your first question.
Does it have... I can't remember this. Hold on. Let me think about it. It's like goo or something. It's like the goo.
The goo.
The glop. The glop. The glop.
The glopidopitus.
The.
Are you asking?
No, I'm sussing it out.
Oh, okay.
Does it start with the letter? Oh, does it start with the letter O?
Yes.
The ooze.
The ooze. Nailed it.
Oh, whew, look at us both today. We both nailed it today. Holy shit. We got it right. The ooze is cool, man. That game is rad. That game deserves more credit than it gets because it's very strange and rad. It's a fun game with like weird physics that didn't seem possible then and all that.
Yeah.
Oh, the ooze is cool. If you guys haven't seen the ooze, go check it out. It's rad.
Yes, you're a green blob. Ooze rolling along the floor, top-down kind of game, and just taking everybody out with your ooziness.
So I remember in the 90s thinking the Super Nintendo, every time I'd hear the sound out of a game, I'd go, oh, man, that's so good.
Yeah.
What a great sound chip. And I would hear my Genesis do it, and I go, man, it's not this good. It's just bad. No, but now I prefer that weird-ass Genesis sound. I just do.
Yes.
Love it. Can't get enough of it. All right. Well done. That was fun. I always enjoy that.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
Hey, look who what we got here. We got some feedback from listeners, you know? Questions.
Ooh, feedback.
If you will. These are texts, both of these. Brian from Kansas City sent a text to 801-471-0462, and he says this, just finished the Frogger episode.
Oh, good episode.
Yep. Be sure to check out an episode of the Frogger Game Show on Peacock.
What?
Brian from Kansas City. I've never heard of this.
I never heard of it.
Frogger, Peacock. We're going to look at it, right? We're going to learn now.
I had the Peacock, and I like the Frogger.
Okay, I'm hitting play. This is a Peacock original.
Oh, it's a Frogger. So what do they do, play Frogger? Like real people?
Well, here, I'll play the audio. We'll see if we get in trouble here. I don't know.
Oh, it is. It's real people playing real Froggers.
It's now the greatest showdown on TV.
Oh.
This is
kind of like Wipeout.
Well, it's one of the Wayans.
Like Wipeout with Frogger.
Yeah, it's one of the Wayans brothers co-hosting. But you jump. Yeah, it's a live action, like people competing, jumping through Frogger shit.
Yeah, it's like Wipeout, but with Frogger stuff, right? That's cool.
We need to watch this.
Yeah, I like this idea. This is good. Thank you for turning us on to that. I did never even think, what is this even? How did I miss it?
This was a year ago, September 9th of last year. I've never even heard of it. It looks like fun. All right.
It does.
We'll go back. We'll look.
Thank you for that. Who suggested this?
This was Brian. His name is Brian, like your name.
Brian from Kansas City. Thank you, Brian. Kansas City.
Here's one from JR. JR says, I just finished listening to the Twisted Metal episode. I just thought the game Vigilante 8 deserved an honorable mention. It was actually a very good Twisted Metal clone. Thanks, JR. Agreed.
And we were going to mention it, and we just didn't get around to it. We didn't have time. We discussed it privately, but yeah. We didn't discuss
PS1. Well, I think N64 had it too, but let me see if I can find this for chat to look at. I think we do have some video.
Looks like Frogger only lasted a season.
Oh, boo.
2001.
But we could still catch it though.
Still
my gosh, Vigilante 8. I did like this. You know what? They took the formula and just kind of made it a wee bit better.
Oh, yeah. Vigilante 8 is good. That's good stuff.
It is good. It didn't get the recognition it deserved though.
Yeah.
You need to play. Did I tell you maybe I didn't talk about it on the show, but there's a new Warhammer 40K game called Speed Freaks, which is in currently in alpha open test mode or multiplayer testing. And I spent a few hours in that already.
I got gun or whatever it was. What was it? Pixel what?
Bolt gun. That's an awesome game.
Bolt gun. That's it.
That game rocks. But anyway, this new racing game, it's a bunch of orcs racing each other. Not racing, but it's Twisted Metal, but in a modern engine with like all the, it's what I've been wanting. It's so cool. Right. So go check it out. Speed Freaks on Steam. It's so freaking cool. Runs on my Steam Deck and everything. It's great.
Love it.
Which is weird for an alpha test. I'm not used to that stuff working.
Alpha.
There you go, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that. Hey, check it out. You know what we're talking about next week? Wolfenstein. Yeah, that's right. The early years. Castle Wolfenstein, 1981. 1984's Beyond Castle Wolfenstein, and 92's Wolfenstein 3D DLC Spear of Destiny.
Oh, la, 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 la.
Oh, la, la.
And none of that Activision Bethesda stuff just yet. Maybe that'll be in a future episode, but this is going to be the old Wolfenstein.
Oh, this is old shit. Yeah, the 81, 84 stuff especially. A lot of people don't even know that stuff exists, but, you know, Wolfenstein 3D and Spear of Destiny, id doing their thing. We all probably played that. That was the precursor to Doom and changed the world, really. So
I played so much Return to Wolfenstein. I played so much of that.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Oh, my God. I just couldn't stop.
I loved it. I upgraded to a 386 for this reason.
Yeah,
I didn't need that computer until Wolfenstein came out, and I was like, my 286 will not handle this. I will buy a new 386 with 2 megabytes of RAM.
And just to let you know that the current the IP owners of the Wolfenstein IP there is discussing, and they're hiring some people, and it sounds a lot like a new thing.
Yeah, Wolfenstein 3 is my guess. They had an amazing... So New Order was amazing. Well, I can't remember what came after that, but that was also good.
The last thing they released was like 2019, right? Is that the
And that was a bad game, though. That was the one with the sisters or the daughters. That was not a good game. Not because they were his daughters, because the game was just shit. But the prior two games, especially New Order, amazing games. Really good.
Right.
I would be very happy to play another Wolfenstein modern game. That'd be fine with me.
Mm-hmm. Sign me up.
Boy, they got clipping issues with this freaking Vigilante 8 business. I'm just looking at this video, and the sides of the screen are constantly drawing in.
Now, is that, I wonder what they were capturing that on. Is it like didn't Vigilante 8 like make it to like iPhones and stuff? Isn't that like a,
did it? I don't know. I didn't know that.
I can't remember. I think you can download it for the
I thought this one off like PlayStation N64 and done. I don't know.
Well, I'm even thinking of something that's like Vigilante 8. Vigilante 8 classic iPhone. Let me see.
But man,
I could have swore I played it on there.
The peripheral pop in on this.
Right.
And some bullshit. Anyway, that'll be next week. We're going to talk all about the Wolfenstein retro years. I'm actually very excited about that. And I would like to thank a patron for making this show possible and for even that new topic being possible. His name is Vanderson74. He signed up on our Patreon, patreon.com/playretro, and did it just here recently. Huge thanks to him and everybody who supports us each and every week on our Patreon. You'll never get commercials. You get pre-show content every single week. And you get monthly benefits. They are only yours if you sign up to our Patreon.
Yeah, and you're about to get a whole heck of a lot more. If you guys have been hanging out with us with the AmberNick RG35XX and the MiYu Mini Plus, I'm about to make some videos for that for patron supporters to kind of help some of you guys along and hopefully get you where you need to be. We're also doing a new thing Scott started doing this past week, and I haven't finished setting up yet though.
Yeah, we're doing
little short
videos once in a while. That's all we'll say. We call them blips. They're called Play Retro Blips. There's one up on the YouTube channel right now. Go to frogpants.tv to see it.
And that's for all.
Yeah, it's fun. I talked briefly about some stuff, but the point is, you know, a little extra here and there. We don't mind because you guys support us and help us out. All right.
Yeah.
So keep that coming. That'll do it for us. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com is our email address. You're encouraged to use that on the frequent. But even more importantly, we love getting texts from you. 801-471-0462. PlayRetroShow on Twitter. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, for the rest of you. We'll see you next week.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
You'd be in a really bad mood.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com